They have decided to sponsor a section of us two chatting to Bozza, and he joins us now. Hello, mate.
Good afternoon, Maxi. Good afternoon, Ian. How are you?
We are very
excellent.
Good. It's always nice to talk to you, my friend. We were saying in an ad break, what a kind-hearted, lovely man you are.
I love listening to ad breaks and I love doing the washing.
Well, where do you want to start? Do you want to start with Liverpool getting through to the Carabao Cup final, Liverpool-Chelsea in the League Cup final? You know, it's a competition close to your heart, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so. Won that competition, been very fortunate to win it twice. A convincing win by Liverpool. And Arsenal will be very disappointed. You know, the first leg, they had it, you know, they did so well after sort of, you know, going the game pretty much for an hour, only with 10 men after Xhaka got sent off, and to get that result at Anfield, you know, 0-0 to go back to the Emirates with that advantage, and no Salah, no Mane for Liverpool, pretty much a second string side. But Liverpool were just too good. Diogo Jota is proving to be perhaps one of Jurgen Klopp's best signings ever. Was absolutely outstanding, as was the rest of the team that participated. But like you said, they'll join Chelsea now in the League Cup final. And you know, people can say what they want, but you know, a major trophy is a major trophy. Because when you look back, those are the things that really count.
And you're so right about Jota. He's been so, I mean, I think we all knew he was good at Wolves, but maybe, and naively maybe, we just didn't really realise what a player he was. And and because of 100%. Firmino, Mane and Salah is so such a good three, that you thought, well, no one can break into that. And he, you know, it's hard to know who you'd start with if everyone was fit.
100%, Max. And it's a really good point. And I think we thought, you know, he'd be a real, you know, in inverted commas, squad player, i.e., you know, we'd see him every now and then and this, that and the other. But I don't think none of us had the impression or anticipated that he would make such an effect. And it must be great. Look, when you're playing, you'd rather that your position is guaranteed week in, week out, so you can sort of relax a little bit. But as when you finish playing and you look back and you're really honest with yourself, you realise it's better to have competition for your place because it makes you that little bit more hungry. You know, it makes you want to get to training completely on time. It makes you want to do that little bit extra because you've got somebody pushing you for your place. And from a manager's perspective, he wants competition for every position. You know, he knows that competition for every position, as long as it doesn't turn into conflict, will push the team that little bit further.
Just in the perspective of Arsenal, Boz, it feels like it wasn't that long ago when Arteta was being pushed out, especially by Piers Morgan. I'm pretty sure Ryan's the club now. But this one feels like it'll hurt because you're so right after the red card from Xhaka in the first leg. A cup competition for Arsenal, that's about where this team feels like a good run here, and to not make the final after being 0-0 at home, this one feels like it hurts.
Yeah, that's a very, very good point that you make there, Ian. And you know, let's not forget...
First one of the show, by the way. We've need 2 hours and 45 minutes. And...
I don't know about that. I was listening before. He was pretty good before. I was thinking, you know, at the start of the season as well. I remember at the start of the season after the, you know, couple of games, especially when I got walloped by Manchester City. To be fair, I was tending to lean a little bit. I was sort of thinking, you know, Arsenal deserve better than this. But he really has rallied the troops. And their league position is exceptional. I mean, they're going to really be vying for that top four spot. But if you sort of, you know, Arsenal supporters, and you know, they're like you know, a population that's been part of an empire. They were a great, great footballing club. I want to say great, you know, regular Champions League, winning major trophies, you know, whether it be a championship here or even, you know, FA Cup. So it's very difficult, just like with Manchester United now, you know, when somebody comes in, it has to rebuild and bring them back up. But it just seems to me, every time they get to the point where you think, okay, now the lights are on. I spoke to somebody from England this morning who's a big Arsenal supporter, and he made this point as well. You know, the lights are on. You know, we think that they're the real deal. Let's watch them now. They tend to let you down. But that's just it goes to show that they're not quite there yet as well. I said, the fact that after... you know, some of those early troubles that they're challenging for a top four spot is a tribute to how well they're actually going. And also, it tells a story about how far away Liverpool, Manchester City, and to a lesser extent, Chelsea are from the running pack, because the running pack is or does include Arsenal. But the one everyone's got to watch out for, and I told this to Maxi before, and I know he's been very humble about it, is his own Tottenham Hotspurs with Antonio Conte. I've completely reinvigorated them. When teams win like they did against Leicester the other day and score in the last minutes, number one, you know that there's superb spirit running throughout the side when they win that late. And number two as well, you know they're willing to go through brick walls for the manager. And for a substitute to come on like Bergwijn did and score those goals. And with those games in hand, you know, if they win all those games in hand, they actually go to third place, I was looking today. They're the one that everyone's got to watch out for in that little chasing pack going for that top four.
It's so interesting. I mean, that moment, and we talked about it yesterday, but I think you could talk about it again and again because it was such a... Look, you can have these debates about what's the best sport, and it all depends on which one you were brought up with and your family. You know, it's all connected to community and your friends and your family. So it's a sort of pointless argument. But the thing about football that so few sports can deliver is that, you know, for that to happen, for everything to change so suddenly, is just, it's such, it was just such an amazing moment in that sport, wasn't it?
And look, that's what I keep saying. If I have a friendly debate with my friends who are, you know, rugby union supporters or Australian rules or cricket supporters or rugby league or anything, basketball or whatever, one of the general points that come up is exactly what you make. I said, because our game, goals are at a premium, so it's so hard to score goals in one way. On the other hand, if a goalkeeper makes a mistake or somebody comes in and does a bit of brilliance, they can go in, it can change it so, so quickly. I said, whereas your games, especially, say, like the AFL basketball, say rugby league and union, if you have a glut of pressure, you know, it usually generates the points. So by the time the other team want to come back, they're 40-0 down or they're 60 points down in AFL. Or in terms of cricket, Max, you can tell the story about, you know, with the English, how difficult it is, you know, if you're that far behind to get back in it. Whereas in our game, because if, you know, even if you're getting absolutely slaughtered in terms of the, you know, play, you know, you're running everywhere, you're chasing shadows, but the other team can't score enough goals, you know, can only get maybe two goals, even though they look like they're cruising, it can change in an absolute second, which does make it so viable and exciting. But there's always arguments for other ones as well. They'll come back with, you know, great games and all. But my point that I was just trying to make, say, for example, like I said, if that Ashes battle that we just had now, and I'm sorry to keep bringing this up, Maxie, but...
That's all right. That was fine margins. That was the barest of margins.
Yeah, anyone that was listening, that watching Max Rushton's tweet, they're absolutely brilliant. Some of the things he was tweeting out, like he was saying, "Oh yeah, this is going to turn around right now."
But for example,
if that was football, like you know, it's like for example that those sessions that England had, that you equate that to goals, they would be like well back. It would be much closer just because goals are at such a premium. Which, like my friends from other sports say, well, that's what makes it a little bit boring for them, because they don't see as many goals. So there you go. But like you said, it depends a lot where you grow up, and it depends on everything, the environment that you inhabit.
Did you like Ronaldo's strop buzzer? I mean, you know he's the problem. You know he's the problem at United. You just got to face up to it.
And for everyone listening, including you, Ian, Max and I, I've got this perennial argument. He's already won one of the arguments we had about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, so he's 1-0 up. His next one is Ronaldo. Now, I didn't like the strop, but I will say this. There's not a player that I've played with in the history of my career who has been happy about being taken off. Now, the only thing is I will say about this is, and I've seen Ronaldo do this at Juventus and at Real Madrid and before even with Sir Alex at Manchester United, the only thing is he done an interview, if anyone saw, about a week ago, where he said it was so important, you know, that the young players take on board and do what he's saying or do what he's doing. So when you say something like that, I think you've got to be a little bit careful then, like literally a week later, to put a strop on in that type of way in front of those young players. That's all. But as far as I'm concerned, like I said, I've seen it from him before. I've seen it with Sir Alex. And it was, you know, for me, Ralph Rangnick, the coach, was exactly right to take him off. He hadn't trained for about a week and a half. He had played very little football. They'd pretty much got the two-goal buffer that they needed against Brentford. And they've got a lot of games coming up because of the postponements, because of COVID and whatnot. They're going to need him. So he'd done exactly the right thing. Can you imagine if he kept him on and he got injured, God forbid, or he got sent off or something? Like, people would be screaming at the manager saying, you're winning 2-0. Why don't you just take him off? So the manager done exactly the right thing and explained it away. But also, like I said, but I am biased because I love Ronaldo. I've seen him do that at every club he's been at throughout his whole career.
Bozza, what about down the league at Aston Villa? Coutinho to Villa is one of the most outrageous signs. I mean, it's contributed by the fact that Barcelona are financially falling apart with Dembele, I think Griezmann and Coutinho all leaving the club for hundreds of millions of pounds when they bought them. But but this Coutinho to the Holt End is one of the most exciting signings for a, you know, relatively speaking, a mid-table club that I can think of in recent times.
Yes, very true, very true. And you know, again, one of my clubs who I love dearly. a massive club, the biggest club in the Midlands. But for, you know, for a long time, they've been in the wilderness. You know, Dean Smith done a fantastic job getting them back up to the Premier League. Mm-hmm. And I think he's taken them as far as they can go. Now, Steven Gerrard, he's a man who's won the big things. And he wants them to be right up where they can. And he's also very lucky to be married with owners who are very ambitious. You know, these owners are very ambitious. And I think that's exactly what this signing has shown. You know, Coutinho may not be the force that he was, that, you know, say, even a couple of years ago. Although, you know, when he went on loan to Bayern Munich and won the European Cup. So he's still, but he's absolutely perfect for Aston Villa and underlines exactly what they want to do. And they'll be looking at the likes of Spurs and the likes of West Ham and the likes of Arsenal and thinking, well, they're all in a really good position to get into this top four. Why can't we be like that? Everton's another one who just obviously got rid of Rafa Benitez. Yeah. They'll be looking at those. But those are the clubs who should be vying and looking for it. And Aston Villa, like I said to you, just keep going forward and forward and forward. And I'm really excited, like I said, with these new owners and with Steven Gerrard, of what they can do. If anyone saw their game against Manchester United, the league game I'm talking about, the second half, they were outstanding. Some good young players, and they're going to get a sprinkling of stars and a really good young manager. I'm really, really looking forward to the future like I haven't done for a long time with Aston Villa.
Yeah, I'm really impressed with Gerrard. I'm really impressed. I mean, and he did really well. He did incredibly well with Rangers, and that's not an easy... When he went there, I was really surprised. I just thought, that could go so wrong so quickly. And you're in such a great place, learning under Klopp at Liverpool with the 23s. So it was a brave decision. Yeah. It worked out well, and he's got a real steel about him, I think. Mm. I want to talk about the bottom of the table. You mentioned Everton, that they play Villa at the weekend. Everton on 19 points, right? So that's 6 points clear of Norwich. And of course, they've got two games in hand. You'd imagine Everton, despite they're in total freefall, they're hopeless at the moment. But you think they're too good to go down, inverted commas. Watford play Norwich on Friday night in the UK. That is a massive game. Newcastle have got Leeds, another really big game. And then Burnley play Arsenal. But it's, you know, because the title race is basically done with Manchester City, it is the race for the top four, which is fascinating. And the race for relegation is also really interesting, isn't it?
Well, the race for the relegation battle, you know, for those who don't know, who are listening, are always so exciting because they generally go to the last day, more so than the race for the title. And also there's more teams usually involved by virtue of how close it is down there in terms of who can get relegated. And, you know, you made a really good point during what you were just saying, Max, in terms of, you know, people are going to think to themselves, you're not too good to go down. Now, Everton are one of those teams since the advent of the Premier League who have never went down. But they remind me a lot of Aston Villa. It was about 5 or 6 years ago when people were saying exactly what you said. Oh, they're too good to go down. They went down. And once you go down, it's very, very difficult to get back up. And they've just got to be a little bit careful here. And they're talking about Duncan Ferguson, who I'm a big fan of, and is an ex-adversary of mine, you know, taking over for the time being. But they're another big club who have spent a lot of money. And, you know, when you're looking at some of those other clubs who are doing so well, spending half the amount, the owner must be pulling his hair out. But they need to be very careful with the next appointment they make, because like you said, you know, two or three more games and they're going to be, you know, they don't win. They're going to be right in that mire. And that's no place you want to be. I had the unpleasant experience, and this was only the season after we won one of the League Cups. And Ron Atkinson, who was our manager at the time, lost his job at Aston Villa, being sucked into a relegation battle. And I can tell you now, give me the pressure at the top anytime, because that is no, you know, every little thing you're thinking, this could take us down. Unfortunately, in the end, we got out. But it's really a nightmarish situation. And you know, it's sort of, you talk about momentum going one way in terms of when you're doing well. Well, that can be the same when things are going not well. You know, it seems as though everything is going against you. They need a couple wins and they need to get away.
Hey, Boz, I've got to let you go because we've got a break, but you're doing a week with me in 2 weeks. So we'll love each other then. See you, mate.
Absolutely can't wait. I would have been in earlier, but like I've got two young kids. I want to make sure they're vaccinated before everything's all okay.
Good man.